This is the Last Week in English podcast, winter semester 2019-20, week two, with me, Mark Jacob, coming to you from the TU Berg Academy, Freiburg. Our guest today is an international teacher of yoga and meditation, which she learnt in her home country of India. She grew up in the northern Indian state of Himachal Pradesh, in a village 30 kilometers from Dharamsala, famous for being the location of the residence of the Dalai Lama, whom she has visited. She studied physics, chemistry and mathematics and went on to gain a master's degree in journalism. This led her to work as a television reporter before she moved with her husband, first to Sweden, then France, and finally here to Freiburg, where they now live with their young daughter. So I'm delighted to welcome today Savina Sharma.
Thank you, Dr. Yakov, for the very nice introduction. And thank you for inviting me here.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Before we start talking about your life here in Freiburg and what it's like for you here, could you tell us a little bit more about your background?
Yeah, of course. I think most of the things you have already told, but still I can tell you something. I grew up in Himachal Pradesh in a very small town called Palampur. It's famous for its tea garden. It's a beautiful, lush green valley. And it's a beautiful tourist place. And professionally, I'm a journalist. I used to work in India with a news channel called NDTV India and DD News. Apart from that, we have a national channel, Doordarshan. I used to make features, documentaries, and I've done many interviews for many famous personalities, sportspersons, and today I am myself giving an interview, making a podcast. Apart from that, I am yoga and meditation teacher with a international non-government organization called The Art of Living. Its founder is His Holiness Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and we teach a very beautiful rhythmic breathing technique. It's called Sudarshan Kriya, and it has manifold benefits. Yeah.
Okay, and I'll ask you a little bit about that in a minute, but first, how did you come to yoga, let's say a meditation? Is that just a normal thing in India?
Yeah, it's a very nice question, Dr. Yakov. It's a normal thing in India. Mostly Indians do yoga and meditation on their own. My father used to practice it and I learned from my father. And afterwards, I also went through a professional training and that's how I started it. And it helped me a lot. You know, as a child, I had a lot of anger. I used to be stressive for many reasons, and I really didn't know, how to control, how to manage my emotions, because I studied in my school physics, chemistry, mathematics, all possible sciences, but I really don't know the science to manage my emotions, and it was so difficult. And the moment I did these yoga courses, these breathing techniques, I could manage my emotions. I was a happy person, It was so nice. I had a very beautiful relationship with my parents, with my siblings, and with my teachers. And I was a happy child, a happy personality. It blossomed like anything, It transformed my life. That's why I thought I have to transfer it to different people. That's how I became myself a teacher for yoga and meditation. And throughout India, I took thousands of courses of yoga and meditation and different breathing techniques. I used to take courses in prisons also, Many prisoners, on the first day, they were so reluctant to do those yoga exercises. But after doing those breathing techniques, they used to feel so good and stress-free. They used to confess, they cry, and they never wanted to do the same things again. And the organization also, they help those prisoners for rehabilitation after coming out from the prison due to their good conduct. The organization used to give them autos, and they could drive autos in the cities. And whenever I used to have to go to airport at night, I used to, you know, trust those prisoners because they are really nice person from inside, you know. Nobody wants to do bad, but the situations, society and lack and different stress, you know, that force us to do many stupid things that those we really don't want to do. So yeah, it was amazing, you know, and my life has a purpose. It gives me a lot of satisfaction, contentment, and I love to do it. I was in Sweden. I took many courses there also. It benefited people. And then in Paris also, we have like international centers all over the world. And we have millions of volunteers. I'm one of them. And yeah, that's how it functions.
Okay, so you do it on a voluntary basis.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned that you learned it from your father.
Yeah.
And did you have any other courses in how to become a teacher?
Yeah, of course. Mm. You know, there are like teacher training courses where you need to go through all those practices, because when you are a teacher, you need to be perfect with your things, right? So there are teacher training courses. Then you get an identification card. With that, you can teach courses. And yeah. The money you get for those courses goes to charity.
Mm,
yeah, okay. In different parts of the world, not only in India. Yeah.
And if, for example, our students wanted to do yoga or meditate, I mean, can anyone?
Of course, it? Yeah. Anybody can do it, you know. Yoga basically it's a Sanskrit word. It means plus, to add, to unite your body, your mind, mm-hmm. and your spirit, consciousness, together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just about, for example, yoga. I mean, here, like, we see yoga as exercises.
No,
as
not at all.
Bending backwards and forwards.
No, actually not. Mm-hmm. You know, even the person who is, like, really sick, sleeping on the bed, still can do yoga. Mm-hmm. Yeah, still can do breathing exercises. And can definitely, I guarantee can, with the help of these breathing exercises, can be better in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In my course, like it's a 6 days course,
mm-hmm.
for 2.5 hours daily. And few people, those who were like really stressed, I say, and those who were like, they have some problem with backbones. There are few people, those who couldn't walk even, no, mm-hmm. they had severe problems. But after third day, not after sixth day, after third day, they started walking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I guarantee, even if you come for a first day of my course, I guarantee you will definitely come till sixth day, and you'll bring more and more people. You know, we never advertise. This is how my courses work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And so the benefits then of doing like breathing exercises,
yeah.
yoga exercises, meditating would be, for example, to reduce stress,
yeah.
which is important for...
Yeah.
For students, and also back issues. I mean, students have to sit a lot and, yeah. and study.
Yeah.
Are there any other benefits? For example, I don't know, staying slim or...
Yeah, this is also a very nice favorite question from the public. They come to my course. Everybody wants to be slim, fit and healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can lose weight quickly by doing very simple exercise. What you have to do is... You just have to nod your head right to left as if you are saying no. Yeah, Dr. Jakob, you can also do it. Mm-hmm. Right to left.
Right, I'm doing that now.
Yeah, great. The listeners are also allowed to do it.
Okay.
Right, left, right, left. This exercise you have to do when your mind is saying one more chocolate. Then you have to do.
Okay, so my mind is now saying one more chocolate.
No, that means no.
Okay.
But yeah, basically there is no trick, you know, to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be aware of our food.
Right.
If we'll keep eating, then of course we need to be a little aware.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to do this exercise. So keep saying no, no more chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
When you say aware, is that like mind being mindful?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. You know, mind is the most important aspect of a life, right? See, everybody wants to be happy in their life. Yeah or no? Yeah?
Yeah. Right.
See, but how to be happy? The question is that, no? And the thing is, mind is not tangible. You are sitting here, but there are thousands of thoughts bombarding in your mind and you have no control on them, right? Yeah?
Right.
So how to control or manage your mind? Not basically control, but manage your mind. So what is tangible is your breath. Mind is just like a kite flying here, and then you're sitting here and mind is going to England. Mind is going to India, right?
Yeah.
But breath is the string. With the help of that string, you can catch that kite.
Mm-hmm.
How? See, what is the first act of your life? When you come to this world, you just breathe in, yeah? And as you breathe out, started crying, the babies cry, right? The first act is to breathe in. And the last act of your life is to?
To breathe out then.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And this breathe in and breathe out, this is called, between this is called a lifespan. In our life, we do big, small, whatever. But we keep breathing, right? Are you breathing?
Let me think. Yes, I am breathing now, yeah.
Really nice. So, breath is very important. Breath is tangible. You can feel your breath. You can control your breath. You can hold your breath. You can stretch your breath, right? And see, breath is related to your mind, right? How? When you are angry, how is your breath? Have you noticed? It's very fast, yeah? I'm very angry, yeah? When you are running, how is your breath? You can feel it, yeah? When you are sick in a hospital or some old people you must have seen, yeah? Sometimes they breathe so long and noisy. When you are just normal, you are fine, you are happy, you are normal, then how is the breath right now? Maybe listeners can also observe their breath. How is it now? It's normal.
Normal, yeah.
You don't even feel it. It's coming in or going out. Yeah? So, that means your breath is connected through your mind. Yeah?
Right.
Right? So, if you want to manage your mind, you can control or work with your breath. Because breath is more tangible than your mind. Right? So, we do these breathing exercises. With the help of these breathing exercises, you manage your mind. And you feel happy, energized. Right? Sometimes you, in a day, you feel so low in energy. Nothing helps you. You feel so bored. Don't like it. Right? Because the energy level is very down. Even somebody says, it's normal things, but it hurts you. Why? Because your energy level is so low. But sometimes you feel so energetic. You feel so happy. Right? Even if somebody says something, it doesn't matter to you. Why? Because the mind is full of energy. Right? You're happy. So, breath helps to keep yourself energetic. Right? Every incoming breath to your body increase your energy level in your body. Yeah? And every outgoing breath relaxes. Because when you breathe, you take a lot of oxygen in your body. When you breathe out carbon dioxide, right? And it gives you more relaxation and more oxygenation in your body. But the problem is, our lung capacity, a normal human being, I am not including the sports person, those sports person, they are using full of their lungs capacity. But normally, we use only 30% of our lung capacity. That means we are not breathing fully. That's how when we breathe fully till our stomach and use full of our lung capacity, then we feel very energetic. This is what these yoga courses and these yoga teachers, they do. While doing all those such small typical exercises, you feel so good, right? You feel, yeah, this is what I wanted.
Yeah.
So mind matters. Mind is very, very important.
Yeah.
You are in best of the place in your holidays. There is a super sunset you are watching, but suddenly you get a phone call and then you got upset. Now that sunset, that best place, that best champagne helping you? Is it giving you fun? No. Why? Because your mind is upset, right? So It depends on the your mind, the state of your mind depends on the quality of your life, right? Or the vice versa, the quality of your life depends on the state of your mind, right? This is a really nice thing to learn.
And when you mentioned that it really helped you, and then at school everything went well at school, and when you were studying, so obviously when you're studying you don't have a lot of time for exercising, and the students here as well, especially when they've got exams and they're very busy. How can you combine?
This is a very good question, I must say. See, you know, most of the time we think we don't have time. This is the problem, because it's not that we don't have time, we don't know how to manage time. Everybody in the world has 24 hours, but few people, they know how to manage their time, right? Even the president of this country or the prime minister of this country, he also have the 24 hours, but they know how to manage their times, right? And in India, all the yogis, all the yoga teachers, they say when you have lot to do, that is the time you need a lot of exercises and a lot of meditation, so that you don't take a lot of time to finish your work, you know. When you do meditation, yoga, then your mind is so calm, you are able to take rational decisions. Yeah or no?
Yeah. So especially when students have a lot to do, when they have some exams, then they should also
do meditation for sure.
Meditate, yeah.
You know, in India, mostly we do these yoga courses for students during their exam time, 1 week before, and then during exam, because, you know, when you give exam, you have a lot of stress. What I used to do, I used to also have a lot of stress, because exam is exam, you know. And I just always wanted to have good notes. So before going to exam, I would just sit for 20 minutes, not more than 20 minutes. 20 minutes is more than enough, you know. And one more secret, 20 minutes of meditation is equal to 6 to 7 hours of sleep. Do you know this?
Okay.
So you are using those 6 to 7 hours in just 20 minutes, right? And you are more calm, more composed, and your mind is calm. You are able to, you know, write what you have learned. So I would say when you have a lot of stress, that is the time you need more yoga and meditation. It's like that you are sick, you are ill, and you are saying, oh, I cannot go to doctor because I'm sick. That is the time when you need it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Yeah. So sounds like you've also met a lot of people.
Right. All over the world.
Yoga, and from your courses, and also from your reporting, your TV reporting, your documentary making. Could you give us an example of something?
Of course I can give you. You know, I, as you told, that I did physics, chemistry and mathematics in my bachelor's. And I had interest in physics, but, you know, I didn't get answers to my questions. And I just found it really a little bit of boring, because I thought Newton and Einstein have done enough. I mean, what am I doing? So I didn't get those very nice laboratories and what to do. I mean, I was very confused. So I thought I need to give a purpose to my life. So I chose journalism and mass communication. And what I used to do, this is very interesting, because we live in a village, and I used to visit different villages, and villagers have many small problems, like they have land problems. Somebody has done encroachment on their land or something, or sometimes they have problems with like bureaucrats. People are not doing their works properly. They don't have a proper bridge in their village, or they don't have proper roads. They don't have proper education system, or they have problems with the health system. So what I used to do as a reporter, I had my own camera, my tripod, my mic, and I was alone in my team. So I used to visit those villages. I used to do interviews. And then at the same time, I will go with that village person to the associated respective bureaucrat. And I go to the office and I'll ask online at that time, this is the problem, and what are you doing? And why this has not been done? why is it taking a lot of time? And then the person had to answer me, right? Yeah. And then they have to answer me and they have to give me the deadline, the time period. Within like 6 months, it'll be done. And after 6 months, again, I'll visit to the village. If it is done, I'll make a success story that people are going on the nice road. Mm-hmm. They are going with cattle on the, they are going to the through bridge, and their problems with land or anything, they have been solved. Yeah. So, and if by chance it's not been done or they have not started taking initiative, then again, I'll go and I'll ask, you have told this on camera and now you're doing something else. Mm-hmm. Why is it taking such a long time? What is the answer for that? Then they have a lot of pressure because it's coming on national television and everybody is watching them. Then I'll go to like political people and all, and I'll take interviews from them. And then we will create a little bit of pressure on the, mm-hmm. those bureaucrats, and then they would have to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So the fact that it was on television then, yeah. Was quite important in
yeah.
convincing, persuading the yeah. authorities to get something done.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any difficulties from people?
Yeah, because many of the time people say, we would not say anything. I would always keep my camera ready. I'll keep it on a record button. And even if they are saying, oh, I don't want this, I'll take all those negative reactions, right? And they are coming on camera. So they have to be polite.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be like authentic. They have to be humble. They cannot just show their attitude on me. So I used to be always ready with my things.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like you had a lot of success.
Yeah, of course. I really had a lot of success. I used to make like this program was for half an hour program.
Mm-hmm.
And one more program I used to do, agriculture
mm-hmm.
program. It's called Krishi Darshan. That means agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And many farmers, they are like poor farmers, and they come up with their models. In agriculture, for example, they have like bumper crop of cucumbers or vegetables or anything. Then I used to go and ask questions. How did you get this idea? And how other farmers can get inspired from you? Where did you get seeds from? And something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I used to do. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did it sounds very different somehow to Europe.
Yeah, of course.
India.
Yeah. It's different.
And how is it living in Europe now compared to living in India?
I think when I was in India, I was not married.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more about, you can say before marriage or after marriage. The moment I got married, my husband is a researcher, Dr. Suchinder Sharma. He was working in Paris, and after marriage, I went with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more into him rather than in the city.
Right.
Yeah. So it was more of like a relationship with him, and I enjoyed with him. He's really amazing person. I'm really fortunate to have him here in my life. And so I really cannot, tell the difference between Europe and India, because it's more of a person. I mean, I was always with my husband, and I got my daughter. So for me, the place was not very important. The family was very important because I was spending that quality time with my husband and with my daughter. So, of course, place was a little bit different, but the people were more important. So I really cannot tell you the big difference, because I come from north of India. It's same cold, same snow and same rains.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit in India, it's more sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Though we have snow, but in the daytime it comes sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So you're used to the weather conditions. But it's just a whole different family situation here.
I was alone in India. I was flying from one place to another place. I was doing all documentaries, features, yoga, going to prison, doing all sorts of things. And then after like coming to Europe, I was pregnant. I was having a baby. And
And have you had a lot of communication with people here? I mean, did you speak French in France?
Yeah, I when we
German
I,
here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, when I was in Paris, I learned French. Je parle français. And merci beaucoup. And when I was in Sweden, I didn't learn it, but yeah, jag pratar lite svenska. I just heard from people, that's how I get to know. And here in Germany, I literally took intensive courses for German. I like it. I like the language. I mean, it's very logical, I would say. And whatever you speak, that's what you write, you know. And I find it very easy. And yeah, it's nice to learn German.
Yeah, and what level are you at now?
Right now I've done B2 course. Mm-hmm. And you know, the funny part is, I've forgotten my English and I only speak German. Mm. Whenever somebody says, oh, I'm sorry, I say, alles gut, alles gut. And if somebody does something good for me and then say, oh, danke schön. Even if I'm talking to Indians, you know,
yeah.
I just speak German. I before doing this podcast, I was really nervous because I thought probably I'll speak in German, I guess.
Okay.
it's sometimes, you know, difficult to switch.
Yeah.
Because I put a lot of effort to learn German and suddenly I had to speak in English. So, yeah. So I thought, yeah. And here in Freiburg, there is this museum, mm-hmm. Terra Mineralia. So I visited there and probably I'll do some tourist guide. I work like a tourist guide, mm-hmm. where I will do English guided tours for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. And at home, what language do you speak or languages?
Yeah. We speak Pahari. Pahari mm-hmm. means the mountain language. It doesn't have script. We just speak. Yeah. And I think Pahari only the earlier generation, they used to speak. Now nobody speaks Pahari. Mostly people speak Hindi or English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is Pahari, is it like Hindi?
Yeah, it's like Pahari is like Hindi and Punjabi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I speak Hindi, Punjabi, Urdu, Sanskrit, Hindi, English, German, French, and Svenska.
And Svenska Swedish. And Swedish. Okay, that's a lot of languages.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about your daughter? And what does she speak?
She's so nice and she's very cute and she's very nice, I must say. Mm. She speaks Pahari, Hindi, English, German.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sanskrit a little bit.
Okay.
She goes to kindergarten. She is 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so at kindergarten she speaks German.
German, yeah. She dreams also in German, you know.
Okay.
At night, she will just cry. Oh, to tell shit. She will tell this to her father. She'll be sleeping and she'll say, oh, du hast meine Lolli gegessen. Warum hast du meine Lolli gegessen? Yeah.
And will you be teaching her yoga or does she do some yoga already?
Yeah, she likes it very much.
Mm.
So she does meditation with my husband and mm-hmm. she does yoga, yeah.
Okay, your husband does yoga and meditation as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is that something that connected you and your husband? And yoga?
Yeah, you know, this is also very interesting to know that my husband came to my yoga course. Uh-huh. He was my student. And his mother and he, both of them came to my course in Palampur. I was in his city actually.
Mm.
And then after like 6 days, he proposed me and yeah, many things went and then, yeah.
Okay, after 6 days of the yoga course
with
you. Yeah,
his mother and both of them came to me and then I was like, okay, well, I mean, I could understand. Yeah. And then many things happened, yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is, we are married and I feel really fortunate to be his wife, yeah.
Okay,
he is an amazing personality.
Okay, and he's doing research here in Freiburg.
He's working in Helmholtz Institute. He's a researcher mm-hmm. in physics,
mm-hmm.
condensed metaphysics.
Okay, so you have that in common as well then.
Yeah.
Physics, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you have any plans then for the future? Or
I want to learn different things.
Mm-hmm.
This would be very weird to know that I want to learn a little bit of magic to entertain children.
Magic?
Magic, yeah. I want to learn small tricks to just take out a flower from somewhere or do something to amaze children. Yeah, so that they smile, they laugh. And apart from that, I would learn to bake cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is also I would like to do. I want to bake different cakes for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for adults also.
Okay, that's something very German, baking cakes.
Yeah. I would like to learn that. And apart from that, I'm not thinking much, because my daughter is also small.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to spend quality time with her. I want to read so many nice stories to her, play with her.
Okay, that's nice. Coming back to students here, have you got any kind of final tips for them? Some takeaway message or some takeaway actions for the students?
Yeah, I would say the most important thing in your life is yourself, your mind, your girlfriend, your parents, everything is secondary, I would say. If your mind is fine, you are happy, you are healthy, your parents will be automatically be happy. You will be able to manage your relationships. You'll be able to manage your work. So give importance to yourself. Don't stuff your body with dirty things, right? Be aware of yourself. Be aware what you're eating. Be aware what you're talking. Be aware how you're sitting or you walking. Just be aware. That is what yoga is. Meditation doesn't mean just sit eyes closed. No. Meditation means do 100% whatever you do. If you speak 100%. If you listen 100%. So that is what my message is. Do 100% whatever way you do.
Wow, thank you very much for that message.
Thank you so much.
I think that would be very useful and helpful for our students. And thanks a lot for taking the time to tell us about a little bit about your life and about yoga, meditation.
It's my pleasure, Dr. Rao. Thank you for inviting me here.
Yeah, so look forward to and maybe hearing from you again at some point.
Of course.
How you've got on with your magic tricks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.